sometime this week in the midst of our stuff, so I gotta make sure I put up some signs or something. But yeah, a lot of opportunities, so please, if you get the chance to sign up. Also that Sunday, wear a t-shirt, wear blue jeans, wear something comfortable. I'm not going to be in my dress clothes either, but this is going to be our opportunity to be the hands and feet of the church. I'm really excited about this. All Moravians across the northern province are going to be doing this. So we have an opportunity really to be the church this next Sunday, and everybody is very excited about that. And also, don't forget, another special Sunday the week right after that is our rally day on the 22nd. That will be 9:15. CEC will be providing breakfast, a great opportunity to gather and think about our future educational opportunities. A lot of great classes are coming together, and I think there's going to be something for everyone. Our town hall will be on the 29th, immediately following that as well. Matt Spees will be our special guest speaker when I'm gone on vacation on the 22nd. We're excited to have him here. Matt was actually baptized in our congregation, so we're excited to have him as our visiting pastor that day. And also, don't forget, Monday night is Bob Evans Fellowship Night. It was not last Monday due to Labor Day, so if you're interested in joining that group, that'll be 6 p.m. And then two other announcements is Camp Zimmerman is having their Black Sheep Barbecue on Sunday, October 13th. We had a chance to go last year. Great food, great people. You really want the opportunity to support a camp that we have right in our backyard. And then the Moravian Women's Retreat, October 11th to the 12th. It's going to be right here at Sharon Moravian Church in Tuscarawas County. So you have an opportunity to go to a provincial-wide women's retreat in your own backyard. That doesn't happen too often. Carolyn has graciously volunteered to take any registration forms, which are due next week, and send them all in together so you don't have to pay for all the extra postage costs and things like that. But I really encourage you, if you get a chance, to check this out. Does anybody else have any other announcements at this time? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Morning, Matisha. Morning, Angie. Morning, Nick. Morning, McKenna. Morning, Madison. Morning, Sharon. How's it going? Morning, Delaney. Morning, Tiff. Morning. You may remain standing as we join together in our watchword of the week. Our watchword this week comes from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 19 to 20. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. Amen. You may be seated. Please stand for the call to worship. Let us walk in the way of the Lord and keep his commands.
Let us keep his commandments, decrees, and laws.
Let us love the Lord our God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him.
Let us choose life so that our children can learn and live the ways of the Lord.
Please remain standing as we join together to sing, Abide With Me. We turn our hearts and our minds to our offering. We remember that in all times, God does abide with us. We will hear in our gospel message today the importance of sacrifice, that we're willing to give not only of our treasures, of our talents, but of our hearts and of ourselves. And may we remember that everything we have is a gift to God. And may we do all that we can to return the wonderful gift that that have been given to us. Let us now give of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Please rise. Let us pray. Dear Jesus,
thank you for being our sacrificial lamb. When we count the cost of discipleship, help us to see the greatest gift has already been given to us. There is no gold or silver that we could pay you back with that would equal the gift of your redeeming love. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us now turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer. We remember prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Jace Pipes. She passed away this past week. She was a friend of Jim and Linda Karcher. We rejoice in Grandparents' Day this weekend and all the wonderful grandparents we have that are a part of our congregation who are such a great influence on their grandchildren, are an important part of their lives, and we are grateful for the gift, most importantly, that God gives us in family. Prayers of joy for Emily Settle. She got to come home from 3 months of cancer treatment in Seattle. We uplift her. Emily is in her mid to late 20s, She's actually on her second battle with cancer. Her family's from Hope, Indiana. So for her getting to come home from Seattle, Washington is a big deal. This girl is quite a fighter. What a great spirit. And we continue to uplift Emily and her family in prayer. We think of the nephew of Sharon and Mitch Belknap, Corey Beitzel, who is having surgery tomorrow on his brain. We ask that God be with the doctors, the nurses, with Corey, with his family, that they all help him and be gracious to him on his wonderful road to recovery. Let us also remember all of those impacted by Hurricane Dorian this past week, still those to be impacted. May all those in the path of the hurricane be provided strength, resource, and assistance in rebuilding their communities and homes. We also pray for the first responders who are coming to the aid of thousands of people. I mean, this hurricane hit some of the most vulnerable parts of our world very hard. So we ask that God provide us with the strength to stand up and help those who are unable to help themselves at this moment. We think of Brad Miller, who had a successful cancer surgery on Thursday at Cleveland Clinic on Thursday. He is Doug Miller's brother. We continue to uplift him on his road to recovery and treatment. Let's take a moment and also pray for our day of mission next week. We remember that God doesn't always send us out to be missionaries 1,000 miles away, but sometimes God sends us to be missionaries right here at home. And we have the opportunity to serve a lot of different needs in our community this next week. And I'm proud that we are going to stand up and be a part of that. It's going to require some sweat, some hard work, and some effort on our part, but I have no doubt that we will rise to the challenge as what God calls us to do in service. Let's take a moment in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you and we've sung the hymn today asking you to abide within us, and we truly mean that. That your love, that your grace, your mercy, your compassion abides within all your disciples. And may we carry that in all we do and all we say. As we look forth in our world, please be with those who are responding to this great natural disaster in Hurricane Dorian. Be with the people who are rebuilding their lives. Be with those who are responding. Help all of us to see that in the midst of great tragedy, there is also great opportunity to respond, to care, to hope, to minister to those in need. We think especially this week of the family of Jace Pipes, for Emily Settle, who gets to go home, for Corey Beitzel, who has surgery tomorrow, for Brad Miller, who had a successful surgery this past Thursday. Your working hand is in each of those situations, and help each of us see that. When situations seem insurmountable, or you seem a million miles away from them, help us to pay attention to the God moments that are happening beneath the surface, that are reminding us that your love will abide there and everywhere. As we think about our day of mission next week, help us to remember the reason why we are called to be missionaries. It's not for fame, it's not for glory, it's not for attention, but it's to share your love with the world, to remember people that believing in Christ truly transforms your spirit so that we can become people who are self-sacrificial, who are compassionate, who are caring, who put others above themselves, because we realize that you, Christ, put yourself above everyone, or put our needs above yours. And you took care of us, and you took it to the cross for each and every one of us. And we are so lucky to live in your gift of salvation. And we will share in that gift as we celebrate Holy Communion today. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture reading today comes from Psalm 139. It's verses 1 through 6 and then 13 through 18. It can be found on page 444 in your pew Bible or on the screen behind me. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame is not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to be to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Where I count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Thank you, Letitia. I love that passage when it reminds us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Let us look at our gospel message today. It comes from the 14th chapter of Luke, verses 25 to 33, the cost of discipleship. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see that he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he laid a foundation and he is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can be my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come forward for the children's chat. Come on up. Whoa. Come here, Aubrey. So how's everybody doing this week? How's your, well, I shouldn't say your first full week of school, but your first, actually no, because you had Labor Day this week. How's school going for everybody? Good? Yeah, you enjoying it?
My first day was on Friday.
Friday, did you like it? Yeah, it was awesome? All right, cool. So what we're going to talk about is how we look at our days. So I want to ask you, what's the favorite part of your day? What's the best, funnest thing you do all day? Paige? Watch the Packers with your dad? She said, "Watch the Packers with her dad." That was okay. What's that? Social study and science. Do you like school? How about some non-school stuff? What do you like? Nick? Riding your bike? Do you have any gamers in here? Do you have any video game people? Yeah, that's what you like. So what we're going to do right now, I'm going to have you get up. We're going to go over here. And what I'm going to do is I got a project that we're going to do together. And in here, you're going to tell me how many pennies I put in each spot. In this jar, I got 24 pennies. Can anybody guess why I have 24 pennies? What's that, Tyler? How old I am. Good guess. I like that. I appreciate that. Paige, 24 pennies. Why 24 pennies?
Because
You guys are overthinking this. There's 24 pennies, because guess what? There's 24 hours in a day. And so what we're going to do is we're going to figure out how we divide our day by looking at what pennies we put into our jar. So I need somebody to grab this one. Okay, can you read the bottom of it for me, Nick? Sleep. So how many hours a day should we dedicate to sleep? Rylan?
Eight.
Eight is Nick? 10. Ooh, solid. I like you. If you're young, you're growing, yeah? Brandon, how about you? So who thinks 8, 8, 10, 8, 9? Should we split the difference? There we go, 9. All right, I'm going to put 9 pennies in here. So how many do we have left then if we put 9 in here? What's 24 minus 9? Nick? Yep, 15. All right, somebody want to grab, Paige, you want to grab the next one? What's it say?
Eating.
How many pennies should we dedicate to eating? I know how many Colton wants. One? Yeah, I think that's good. Because how long does it take you to eat breakfast? Like 15, 20 minutes? And then lunch is 15, 20 minutes. And then dinner is 15, 20 minutes. So you add all that up, you put a penny in there, and that's all for eating. Rylan, you want to grab that one?
School.
How many hours a day do you dedicate to school? Nick?
Seven.
Okay, you do 7. That's just going to school. Who here has homework after school? Who has to read? We have to do 30 minutes of reading, so we should probably put an extra penny in for homework, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Brandon, you want to grab the next one? So what's that one say? Chores and personal maintenance. So that means like brushing our teeth, making our bed. Who here has chores at home? Anybody have chores? Things you got to do, wash the dishes. So how many pennies should we put on? I'm sure it adds up throughout the day when you got to brush your teeth, you got to clean the table. Should we put a full penny in there for that one, Aubrey? What's that, Rally?
Nothing.
We'll put a full penny. Aubrey, you want to put it in? And then Tyler, you want to grab this one? Friends. How much time do we want to dedicate to like playing with our friends and riding our bike? Let's see, we got 5 pennies left. So what do you think?
Probably
1 to 3 hours. 1 to 3 hours. So is 2 pretty solid then if we're going in the middle? And then this last one. Oh, somebody want to, Colton, you want to grab that? Can you read that one? TV and video games. This is our last one. So if we're being honest, probably 1 or 2, but, you know, if I'm being honest, since I have to give communion later, I have to add another one because the Packers have been playing this week, and the Brewers are in a playoff race, and the Indians are in a playoff race, so I might have to grab some other pennies from there. But we're missing one. What are we missing? If we got all 24 hours of the day, hold on. Colton? Family? That's a good one. That could be part of our friends. That's a very good one. That could be, it's part of all, Paige, what?
Jesus.
We got to make time for God. And here's the interesting thing. We're talking about sacrifice this week. So how many hours, these first 4 are dedicated to things that you have to do, right? You got to sleep, you got to go to school, you got to eat, and you got to do chores. That's pretty much locked in. How many pennies do you see compared to these two? Are there more pennies in the things you have to do or the things you want to do? There's more pennies in the things you have to do. And guess what? You can't take any pennies out of the things you have to do. So you have to take a penny out of the things you want to do. Do you want to take a penny out of the things you do with your friends or video games and television?
Friends.
Friends? Well, if we go video games and television, we could have 2 each. All right, raise your hands. Who says friends? We'll take it out of friends. Who says, okay, you just raise that. Who says video games and television? All right, I think you got outvoted. And so you have to do that. So what do you think that teaches us? What does that lesson teach us? That if we have to take time for God, what do we have to be willing to do? Sacrifice. We got to be willing to take time from other things that are fun to make time for God, because Jesus is a priority in our life. And the other important thing is we have to plan it out. Because if you hope that you make time for God, guess what happens? You get to the end of your week and the end of the month, and you're out of time. and that cup remains empty. But you have to make this not your last priority, but your first priority. Yep, that's right. So what we're going to do now is, before we pray, I got a Bible to present our CEC Youth Member of the Month. So Mr. Colton, could I have you step up? This is the Kids Visual Study Bible, which our CEC got for you. We'll think you really will enjoy this. Hold on, Colton. Let's make sure your grandma can get a picture. There we go. And so I encourage you, if you haven't had a chance, to check out Colton's responses in our newsletter. He had some great responses. He wants to be a police officer when he grows up, right? What's the funnest thing that's going to be about being a police officer? Catching criminals? I thought you were going to say putting your brother in jail. So that's a good first step. That's great. So let's give Colton a round of applause. This is your Bible. Enjoy it. And now let's stand in a circle. Before we get our snack, we got to pray, y'all. That's part of the time we put in for God. Let's pray. Gracious God, I ask that you bless these children and continue to remind them to make time for God in their own lives, to remind those in their family to make time for you. And please bless the fun time that they have and help them to enjoy the time that they have committed to school and sleep and other things. And help each one of us know that you, God, are present in every minute and every second and every hour of the day. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So now you can go ahead and grab your snacks. There you go, Paige. Good job. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you inspire within us and help us to carry those thoughts into actions as we leave this sanctuary today and remember that your church is any place, anywhere, 24 hours, 7 days a week. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So in our gospel this week, we get a very, very interesting scene, a text that challenges us quite a bit. Luke paints quite the picture in this gospel scene, because in this gospel parable, Jesus has a large crowd, and that large crowd at that moment is eating out of the palm of his hands. They all love what Jesus is doing. They all love what he is preaching, and all Jesus has to do in that moment in time is tell those people that God wants them to be happy. God wants them to be successful. God wants them to be rich beyond their wildest dreams. Forget about the Romans. I'll take care of the Romans. I'll send my fiery angels to take care of them. And I will take you farther than you could ever possibly dream. And if Jesus says these words to these people in this place, they will accept him as the Messiah, the one true God, because he will say exactly what they have been waiting thousands of years for the chosen Jewish leader to say. However, in this scene, Jesus makes it clear he is not the Messiah of the expectations of the world. He is the living God. Jesus says, "Whoever does not come to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Not the words that any of us, I think, want to hear from the Son of God. Most pastors, when they approach this text, they realize this is a difficult text. So that's the week, A, you either go on vacation, or B, you plan a hymn sing, because this text is very challenging to look at, and it's not the most upbeat text. But it is an important text. And it makes us think, and I think that's why Jesus has some of these passages. And two things we must keep in mind when we approach a text like this is that it is helpful to remember how Moravians approach the Bible. And number two, remembering the context of where Jesus is preaching is just as important. And when it comes to the Moravian perspective, difficult passages like this are one of the reasons why we as Moravians don't teach that the Bible is a perfect book that is easy to read with no contradictions. We don't teach that. This idea that you need to only read it once, memorize the important passages, and you are good for life. That is not the Moravian perspective. What the Moravian perspective is, our approach is that the Bible is a holy book, and it's an incredibly difficult book sometimes. It challenges us. It makes us scratch our heads and wonder, what were they talking about? What were they saying to these people? And we have to spend a lot of time with our Bible, a lot of time, to seek understanding of not only of how God's people responded in biblical times, but what God calls us to do in our times. We do not worship Scripture, but it is our lighthouse that shows us the way to Christ. It ministers to us, but it does not provide salvation. That role belongs to Christ alone. And the second important part of this is context. Jesus said a very crazy statement, a very hyperbolic statement, not to be mean, but to be honest with those who follow him. See, Jesus did not want to recruit like a salesman invested in the numbers or just getting the sale, because Jesus wasn't wired that way. He was invested in people. And how many times are we honestly recruited into the big decisions in our life? I want you to think about that. How many people here have ever joined the military at one point? Ever been in a recruiter's office and signed on the dotted line there? And I'm sure some of you have some stories that you can tell about being recruited voluntarily. How sometimes it could be like, I talked to one soldier who said it was like a TV commercial. They told you this, he went into this recruiter's office and they told you, you join us, you sign on that dotted line and you're going to see the world in 4 years. And think about how slimming and handsome you are going to look in that uniform, how the ladies are just going to be catcalling you everywhere. I mean, you are going to be a new man. And guess what? When you get home, they're going to have this free education sitting for you. You're going to be rich. You're just going to be sitting on this money while all these losers got all this student loan debt in the corner, and they're crying, not you. You've got it made. You've got it set up. Now, that sounds a lot better, doesn't it, than the alternative, which it may be more like, hey, if you sign on the dotted line, I'm going to take your personal freedom from you. I'm going to go send you anywhere in the world at any point in the time, and you're not going to be able to question me one bit. For the next 4 years, we own you. How many people would follow that recruiter, you think? But that isn't to make fun of the military or to knock that, but that's to remind us that sometimes we're recruited in different ways, in different aspects, and we always shine light on the positive rather than some of the challenges we face when we're recruited. And we do that in a lot of things. Think about colleges. What about colleges today? Our kids are told every day from kindergarten to when they graduate high school that, what are they told? You cannot put a price on somebody's education, right? You hear that from kindergarten, and you hear that through your senior year of high school. You can't put a price on education. Well, it seems like the more and more you hear about it, higher education has put a pretty big price tag on education. And if you do the numbers, the average in-state tuition in Ohio in 2017 to 2018 was over $15,000 a year. That was the average. And you add in housing, you add in books, you add in foods and other items, and our kids are walking out of universities with basically high-interest educational mortgages. How many kids would trade the best 4 years of their life for vocational training with information like this in front of them, that it'll take years to pay back some of this? And now, I'm not knocking either one of these choices. I think anybody who's willing to serve our country makes one of the best decisions they can make in our life, and we should be grateful for them that they're willing to, they know some of the sacrifices that they're making beforehand, and they're still willing to do it anyways. I think college is a great decision for a child who wants to be invested in their future and wants to get the assets to equip them to be not only a better person, but a higher income earner and all those other things. But I do think it is important that we know the cost before we make the decision, that we know exactly what we're sacrificing before we make the decisions. And none of us should make any decision in our life lightly. And I think this is the message that Jesus is preaching today. Don't make this decision lightly to follow me. Because being a disciple of Christ in this time period required far more sacrifice than it does today. To say that Jesus was Lord and not Caesar was Lord was literally an act of treason at this time. To say that Jesus was Lord, every single Roman emperor was considered Lord at this time. To say Jesus was Lord was an act of treason. And the penalty for treason in Roman culture was always a painful death. Every single one of the 12 disciples that followed Christ died a martyr, except for John, who died in exile. That's why you have the book of Revelation. That's about him being exiled. In fact, many scholars state that Peter, the beloved disciple, was crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to be executed in the same fashion as Christ. Wow, the sacrifice that these people made. And when Jesus tells us, his disciples, to pick up their crosses, in this situation, he's actually being very literal to his followers around him. Because many of his disciples will be asked to choose between Jesus or their life. Jesus or their life. And he is not telling his followers to hate their families out of a sense of ego, but he says it because a martyr no longer is a parent, a child, a spouse, or a sibling. They are merely a martyr. And we rarely think about the sacrifices that Jesus' family had to make because they were related to the Son of God. I thought a lot about that this week, the sacrifices that were required of the family of Christ. Because when Jesus went to the cross, a piece of his mother's, his brothers, and his friends were killed with him because the Jesus they knew was no longer going to be the same. And when Jesus left this world for his heavenly kingdom, his mother had gained a wonderful Savior. But at the end of the day, she still lost a son. She still lost a son. And death or departing in any form does not happen in a vacuum. Think of the It's a Wonderful Life effect. We all think that we don't impact very many lives, but it turns out if one thing happens to us, it has a ripple on 20, 30, 50, 100 lives around us. I mean, that effect is true. And we really have to take that to heart because our lives impact far more than we realize. Because even a noble death leaves behind a wake of grief and despair. Martin Luther King Jr. sacrificed his life to follow Christ as an unwavering disciple. And by doing so, he was deprived the opportunity to walk his daughter down the aisle, see his boys become men, and grow old on the porch with his wife. Martyr is not just asked to sacrifice their life, but the life they would have shared with their family. So for somebody willing to go to the cross for Jesus, for what they believe in, they suffer two deaths. Their death, which can be painful and difficult, but also the death of being a part of something, their family, their friends, their community. And it can be difficult for us to look at that, but it's also important for us to think about, because what about us? What about our generation? What about our world? Because no one is standing on our front porch telling us that you have to choose between your life or being a Christian. Nobody from the federal government is coming part of the census, and if you say yes to being a Christian, they're taking you to a prison or someplace like that. None of us face anything close to that. And I think it's important that we remember that. Because we live in a culture where it's, oh, woe is me. It's so difficult to be a Christian in the 21st century. And if we weigh our complaints to some of the other Christians throughout the other 21 centuries, I don't think our complaints would nearly match some of the people that the difficulties they have faced. About, oh, sometimes they put happy holidays instead of Christmas on Starbucks mugs, and that just frustrates us. Or sometimes we don't get as many people in church as we would like to. 17 other people in 17 different centuries would say, wow, you have the freedom to worship wherever you want. Wow, how lucky are you? And that is the antidote to our woe is me attitude in the present, is some perspective from the past and seeing the sacrifices that people were willing to make for Christ. And you know that Christ was legitimate. You know that his cause was real because the thousands of people that laid down their life for him. You had to take that to heart. And the sacrifice that God asks from us today isn't that much when you count the cost. We are called to love God and our neighbor wholeheartedly. We are called to give of our time, our gifts, and our money. We aren't asked to carry a cross for what we believe in, but we are still called to point people to the cross and remind them all the wonderful things that Christ has done for us. And at the end of the day, we have to carry that question in our heart. Are we still willing to make small sacrifices for God? Are we still willing to make big sacrifices for God? Can we give of our time, our talent, and our treasure to build the kingdom of God? Most importantly, are we still willing to point to our neighbors, point out Christ to our neighbors, our friends, and our family, to that cross, that wonderful cross that welcomes all beneath it, because the Savior is there waiting for them with his arms wide open for each and every one of us. And in this place, by the feet of Christ, God is not asking us for our life today, but God is asking us for a helping hand, just some help in building the kingdom of God. So we must ask ourselves, are we still willing to help build the kingdom of God? Because God is not asking us to make the ultimate sacrifice, but God still asks us to make some sacrifices, to carry his word, to inspire people to follow Christ, to remind people that light will always defeat darkness, love will always defeat hatred, and hope will always defeat despair. Will you be the people that are still willing to carry that message? Will you be the people willing to sacrifice for all that God has given you? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we get our hearts ready for communion, help each one of us realize the sacrifices first that you have made for us and how lucky we are to be recipients of that. Also, help us to understand that it's easy for us to grumble about some of the small sacrifices we make for being a Christian, for being a disciple. But help us to put it into perspective. And we need not feel shame because you do not ask us to carry a cross in our world, but we can carry that cross to other people and remind them of all the wonderful things that you have done, because to this day, there are still people who will stand up for you despite whatever the cost is. There are still people who will carry your message. Help us to be those people, to be your disciples, because it's not about popularity, it's not about love, it's not about being honored, but it's about giving your compassion to this world, to lighting our world, and to reminding people that faith, hope, and love will abide in all times and all places because you abide in us and all over creation. In your name we pray. Amen. You may remain seated as we join together in song. Thank you. are welcome at this table that the Lord has invited us to. I remind everyone, the Moravian Church celebrates an open communion table. All who welcome God in their hearts are welcome at this table. Let's take a moment in reflection and grace and mercy as we remember the wonderful gifts that God has given to us. Those of you who are following along in your blue hymnal, you can follow along on page 222. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
Let's extend the right hand of fellowship. Peace, Saint. God, we are so thankful for this gift that you invite each and every one of us to your table. Help us each to spread two open chairs, one for you, God, and one for anyone who is welcome to sit next to us, for we know that your kingdom of God is an all-embracing place. We also confess that we have sinned, that we have not done what we always should have done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. But still, your love surrounds us all. Your mercy blots out our sin, and we are so grateful to live in your spirit of grace. Let us rejoice together and listen intently to the words that you have taught us to pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Thank you.
Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacrament, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection,
bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Thank you.
Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. This bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death.
Until
he comes. Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And wear some comfy clothes. Go in peace, brothers and sisters.